to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Janet Bishop. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
The title of the message is Another Chance. Another Chance. Turn to Jeremiah 18. I am in the New Living Translation if you want to follow. And I'm just reading 1 through 10. The Lord gave me another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there." So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. How many of you have felt like you've been on the potter's wheel in the past and that things weren't turning out exactly the way the Lord had planned, the master had planned, and so you just kind of got smooshed all down again and you felt like maybe it's all over? But the master didn't kick you off the wheel. Instead, he said, "Let's have another go. Here we go, round again." Then the Lord gave me this message, "O Israel, can I not do as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned." I love that. Another chance. "And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would." So one thing that we have to get firmly planted in our brain is that God changes his mind. Right? And when we hear from the Lord, we dare not refuse him. It is imperative, it's always imperative, but as we see what's going on in this day, it is emphasized to us that we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and we have to keep our ear tuned in to what he's saying. And we tune it in through the written word, but we also tune it in when we worship, when we pray, when we meditate, when we're driving our car, getting our groceries, going to an appointment. Our ear needs to be tuned in to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. God is always speaking. He's always showing us something. And I know people have told me over the years, "I just don't hear from the Lord. I just don't hear from the Lord." And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The reason you're not hearing from the Lord is you haven't drawn near to him and you're not listening. God even speaks to us in his silence. So you may not be hearing a spoken word from the Lord, but he's always speaking. He's always wanting to connect with you. We have a big thing going on in our society right now. Person after person saying, "I just don't feel connected. I just don't feel connected." Can I tell you that the reason you don't feel connected is because you are not connecting? It isn't about other people. It isn't about what other people are saying. It's not about what preachers are preaching. It's not about what worship leaders are doing with worship. It's not about any of that. It's about you. If you don't feel like you're connecting, you can connect with the Lord first. If you connect with the Lord first, God will make sure, he will make sure that you are connecting with others in the body of Christ. You cannot connect to God and be disconnected from the family of God. You just can't. And remember that your feelings are just your feelings. And in this society where they're elevating feelings above truth, we need to make sure that we're not doing the same as God's people, that we're not we're just not going to focus on our feelings. Does that mean we shouldn't acknowledge them? Absolutely, that doesn't mean that. We need to acknowledge the feelings that we have. But when we acknowledge them, we don't nurse them. We don't make little trophies for them and idolize them. And we certainly don't set them above God's word and his will. So we acknowledge our feelings so that we can bring them into the light of Christ. Amen? God has nothing against feelings. He created them. He created them for you. The word is pretty clear that God himself has feelings. He grieves. He laughs. He cries. Done all of that. Tells jokes. If we really understood the original language, we would be surprised at how many jokes Jesus told. He loves to laugh. And laughter does good like a medicine. Yeah? So again, yes, we acknowledge our feelings, but we don't make little gods of them. And they are certainly not above God himself. So God does change his mind, but how many of you know God is merciful? And God is full of grace, and his desire is to have you close to him, isn't it? And so he will give a second chance to those who have turned their back on him. He will give a second chance to those who have fallen into sin. I enjoyed that term, fallen into sin, like we had no choice. We just fell into it. No. There is a lead up. You started walking in that direction. There might have been a little push from the devil behind, but you don't accidentally fall into sin. You choose it. But just as you chose it, you can choose to get out of it. Amen? And God will continue to call you. He'll continue to woo you. He'll continue to remind you that he's there right up until the day he's finished with it. That day will come. So let me give myself and each one of you this warning. Don't think you can go on sinning forever and the Lord's not going to catch you or stop you or end it one way or the other. Amen? So, remember that he's a loving God. Everything God does is in love. When he tells us to speak the truth, he says, speak the truth in love. We're hearing a lot of people say that they're telling the truth and they're saying it not with love. And we have to discern whether what they're saying is truth or not, and we do that by knowing the word of God. Everything that is truly true will line up with the word of God. That's one thing God doesn't change his mind about. That truth is truth, and he's the only one within whom truth fully dwells. So if you want to know truth, know God, know his word. If you want to follow me, continue to follow me, turn to Exodus. Chapter 32. And I'm going to be reading 9 through 14. Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Aren't you glad he's talking about somebody else? Now leave me alone so that my fierce anger can blaze against them, and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. Remember, the promise was to Abraham, to make Abraham a great nation. But because the people were stubborn and rebellious, them and not us, that he said, that's okay, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to start over. And Moses, I will raise up a great nation through you. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. Oh Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people who you brought out from the land of Egypt with such power, great power and such a strong hand? Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them with evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven, and I will give them all this land that I have promised to your descendants, and I will possess it forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. Why did God change his mind? Because Moses stood in the gap. Moses interceded, and in his intercession, he reminded God of the promise he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what did God do? He listened to Moses, and he relented. He changed his mind. Turn to Ezekiel 22. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 23. Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. In the day of my indignation, you will be like a polluted land, a land without rain. Your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people, seizing treasures and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. Your priests have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between that which is holy and what is not. And they do not teach the people, my people, the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They disregard my Sabbath days so that I am dishonored among them. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. I hate that. That's so sad. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives. I'm sorry. They actually destroy people's lives for money. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Do you want to build something? Build a wall of righteousness. How do you do that? By knowing the truth, living the truth, and doing what God says. I searched for someone to stand in the gap, in the wall, so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. So, what am I saying to you today? We need to be those who will stand in the gap. Because if we don't, this is what follows. The Lord didn't find someone to stand in the gap. So now I will pour out my fury on them consuming them with the full penalty of all their sins. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. There are a couple of things that I get from that. One is the importance of standing in the gap and praying. And the other is that God doesn't really want to punish people, right? And I know Jesus took sin upon himself. Why did he do that? So that he wouldn't have to punish the people. If we were looking for one person who perfectly stood in the gap, it was Jesus on the cross, right? But we are called to do the works that Jesus did, not to go onto the same cross that Jesus went onto, but we are called to take up our own cross and follow him, Jesus, daily. And we are called to stand in the gap through intercession. Going to Ezekiel chapter 3, so we're going in the other direction, and I do have the order the way I want it. I didn't miss it. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in 16. After 7 days, the Lord gave me a message. Seems like he's giving a lot of messages, huh? He said, "Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. If I warn the wicked, saying you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins." See, God wants them warned. He doesn't want them to die in their sins. "And I will hold you responsible for their deaths. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself because you obeyed me." So we are called to obey the Lord. And then turn to Acts 3. While we're going there, I will say a little bit more about being the watchman. See, we often will pray or not pray according to whether we feel like God is hearing and answering our prayers or not. And so we will pray for somebody, but then that person doesn't seem to change. They seem to keep going in the same direction. We pray for our nation, but our nation doesn't seem to change. It seems to keep going in the same direction. And so we have a tendency to get discouraged and give up praying. We pray for family members who are suffering, and we want them healed if they're suffering, or we want them to turn from sin if they're sinning, or we want them to come to the Lord if they're not with the Lord, right? And we pray and we pray and we pray, but maybe we don't see results right away, and so we have a tendency to get discouraged and maybe stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Hope is alive and well as long as you have breath in your body. And God is listening, but he doesn't take the free will of the people away from them. He will bring all kinds of opportunities. Let's specifically talking about a loved one you're praying to turn to the Lord. As we pray for them, God will continually provide opportunities for them to hear the gospel and witness to the truth of it continuously. Hopefully, we hope that the loved ones we're praying for will hear the message, will see the proof of God in their midst, and turn to him. But if they don't, it's on them. If we're doing our job standing in the gap, then the decision they make is on them, isn't it? We want them to come to the truth, and so we continue to pray that they will. God is a God of love, and in that, he never changes. He continuously wants our loved ones saved more than we do. He continuously wants people to come to the truth who aren't walking in the truth. He is good all the time. And then in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or a godliness?" So what Peter's talking about is they prayed for a man who was lame, and the man was healed. And the people were amazed. We'd be amazed too, wouldn't we? I was amazed when God healed my back so suddenly. We are amazed, and we love it, and we rejoice, right? Let me read it again. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, why are you so surprised about this? What's so surprising about this? "And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed." If you don't remember anything else, take that phrase home with you. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Repent that times of refreshing may come. And if you are walking in righteousness, pray for others to repent that times of refreshing may come for them as well. Part of our job as the church is to prepare for the return of the Lord and to prepare others for the return of the Lord. And if they pass away before the Lord returns, or if we pass away before the Lord returns, we will have done our part ourselves to walk with the Lord and to pray for others that they too may walk with the Lord. Amen? See, God is always wanting us to pray about something. And we may have a prayer list, and that's fine. Go ahead and make your prayer list and pray through your prayer list if you want to. God hears that as well. There are other times when God will inspire you to pray about something. I have to admit, I pray for Israel, but I don't pray for Israel every day usually. And I pray for them often, but I hadn't prayed for them, for Israel, in a while. I don't know how long. It had been a while. And the other day, it was either Friday or Saturday. It had to be Thursday or Friday, I'm sorry. I think it was Thursday. As I was praying, I suddenly felt this urge, and that's the only way I know how to describe it, to pray for Israel. What do you think that was? I don't know for sure, but I think why it was is because God knew what was coming. I prayed for their safety. I prayed for their peace, and I prayed for them to know their Messiah. And I prayed for the leaders. God is always inspiring us to line up with his mind and his will, and we just need to listen to him. It's not because I'm anything special, that's for sure. No. He will speak to any one of you, any one of us, at any time, if we're listening. And at the time when I felt this urge to pray for Israel, I had no spiritual insight, no prophetic insight, nothing like that, though that can happen. It didn't happen that day. It all of a sudden came into my mind to pray for Israel. So again, don't depend on your feelings. And if you have the thought, I want to pray for so-and-so today, and maybe you haven't prayed for them ever before, or maybe you have, but haven't for a while, but you just have it in your thought, even if it's your own thought, you think, I think this was just me. Pray it anyway. It isn't about the way we feel. We so often, not all of us certainly, but often as Christians, we think the Spirit of God is just going to overtake us. He does sometimes. But he doesn't have to overtake us for us to be in alignment with his will and do what he's asking us to do in the moment. Often it just seems like it's your own thought. But if it's your own thought and it's not opposed to God's word, go for it. So even though the Jews called for the crucifixion of Jesus, they can still repent and receive him. And if they do, times of refreshing will come from the Spirit of the Lord. See, God wants to make people alive by his Spirit. Even people who are dead in their sin, especially people who are dead in their sin, he wants to make them alive by his Spirit. And so we participate in that process of bringing people to life. Do you hear me? You are to raise people from the dead. And some people do that physically and praise the Lord. The apostles did it a lot. Praise the Lord. But at the very least, or maybe it's the very most, we are called to raise people from being dead in their sin to life in the Spirit of God. You get to participate in that. This is not drudgery. This is joyful cooperation. This is joyful co-laboring with Jesus. Amen? We get to do that. Now, there are results from our prayers, and I'm going to leave you with this. It's a fairly short message today, but I feel like it's a very important one. Very familiar portion of scripture to most of us is 2 Chronicles. Hold on. Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, and say it again, if who? My people, this is the Lord God speaking. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wait a minute, his people are in wicked ways? Ooh, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. One of the prophetic words that came forth at the beginning, I think it was this year, maybe last year, was that it's time to recover all. That word of recovery, that word of restoration is still resonating in my spirit. And I know that it's about aligning properly with the Lord, and then the Lord is free to restore whatever needs to be restored in our lives. He's free to allow us to recover whatever needs to be recovered in our lives. So that's if my people will pray. And then I wanted the worship team to sing Turnaround today, because if you turn that scripture around from 2 Chronicles 7:14 to 2 Chronicles 14:7, I love this. This is what 14:7 says. Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side. So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. There is still hope for our family, our land, our nation. There's still hope for Israel. There's still hope for the nations of the world. If we, God's people, will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. I love that. And because you do seek the Lord, because you do humble yourselves, because you do pray, because you do stand in the gap, then God will restore the land, and you'll have peace on every side. That's what God wants for us. He knows what's going to happen, right? But he still needs us to stand in the gap. See, we think that because God is sovereign, he's just going to do what he's going to do, regardless. But didn't we just have examples this morning of how God changes his mind when his people intercede? So, this is what I leave you with today. Intercede for whomever, whatever God is asking you to intercede for. And don't lose heart and don't give up. Don't get discouraged, even with all the bad news. Don't let your heart be troubled. Stay in the joy of the Lord. Because whatever's going on, it's temporary. We know what our final destination is. Our final destination is with the Lord. No matter what we go through on this earth, no matter what's going on around us on the earth, Jesus is our final destination, eternal life in him. And we want to bring as many people along that path as we possibly can. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who listens. I thank you that you're a God who reveals yourself to us if we seek you. That you're a God who asks us to stand in the gap for others, other people, other nations. And so, Father, I pray that you will inspire us today by your Holy Spirit to do that very thing. First of all, make sure that we are right with you. And then to pray that others will become right with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.